Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with fitness trainer Kerstin Schulze. Kerstin and I spoke about how to stay fit no matter how much time you have, the concept behind party and diet, and why you should incorporate sprints into your routine. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now on to my conversation with Kirsten. Kirsten Schulze, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
I'm super excited. I am excited to d dive into all things fitness, to give the listeners some practical takeaways, and to make sure we're really getting everybody moving no matter how busy they are. So I'd love to start off with the question, what's the main thing you are excited for the listener to learn today?
That we all have time to work out. We all have time. That is the number one thing that I always hear is that people don't have time. And I take that guesswork away and show them how they can do a full body workout in 10 minutes. And if you do 10 minutes a day, 7 days a week, that's 70 minutes a week. And it does wonders for the body, the mind, and longevity.
Amazing. Very cool. I look forward to digging into some practical tips for how to do that and how to make that time that we all have. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your own journey to where you are today?
Okay, we're going back. I'm 52 now. We're going all the way back to Germany, where I was born and raised in Berlin. And I was an athlete always since I was 8 years old. I fell in love with track and field at 10 years old and then went to the Junior Olympics in Berlin at 12. And won the silver medal at the Junior Olympics for heptathlon. That is seven different disciplines. My favorite part of it was track, 200 and 400 meters. And till this day, I use my track workouts to work for workouts. And I go into detail a little bit more about that later. From there, I call myself a fit creator. Because I'm in the entertainment world. I was in theater world in Germany at 15 years old and wrote my own sketches, improv shows, and was on TV in Germany. And then when I was 18, I wanted to be a physical therapist. I had some problems with my knee and I did an internship with a physical therapist. And there I learned that actually bodybuilding and lifting weights can help you to prevent injuries. And it is not just for the vain part of looking great, but also the effects that lifting weights has for the longevity of my body. I never had to have surgery on my knee. I'd helped it. And then from there, I fell in love with the power of lifting weights. And I competed in on a national level, won my competitions, was in all the fitness magazines. And then shortly after that, was on television for a lot of commercials. All I had to relate more into the fitness field and then went to school for my excuse me for my certification. Went to college for personal training and nutrition, got licensed and opened my own gym, Elite Personal Training in LA, and been in the industry now for 25 years, almost 25 years. And started a business called Party and Diet because I learned with competing that I can actually be fit and also have fun in social settings. I don't have to be on a strict diet all the time. And I teach balance basically. That is my love is to teach how can we have balance in our physicality, mentally, and got certified in TRX, menopause, hormonal changes. How do we exercise through hormonal changes? And that's the big picture right now, all squished into one little
I
picture.
love it. And honestly, the message of like fun and still being able to have your dream body resonates so much with me. The listeners will know that moderation and like exactly what you're saying, it's okay to have a slice of cake from time to time. It's okay to have a glass of wine on date night or so, but you just need to learn how to balance that out over the course of the day or the week, and also To the point of like consistency with your workouts, because I think for most people, the issue really is they go too intense, too hard, aiming to work out 6 days a week, an hour and a half, and then they stop completely, aiming to eat completely clean, and then they go way overboard. So your message is like amazing for my ears, and I ho hope most people will really open up their ears and make sure they're taking in what you're saying. So you are saying that you have been certified in like menopause things and just in general transitioning throughout life and making fitness work there. I would love to hear from you because I also stalked your social media and you had something on there which was called the Blueprint for Thriving After 40. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about the components of what it takes to still or to feel good after the age of 40 and maybe even better and better and better as opposed to that whole paradigm of like we're getting worse as we're aging.
Yeah, it's actually called The Secret to Being Fit, and it's actually for really for anybody that wants to start fitness. Where do you start? And it's a blueprint about how simple steps, little steps, can really make a big difference. And the number one thing is, because everything is a program, how we wake up, what time we eat, when we go to work, what time we get home, what time we go to bed, when we eat lunch and dinner, everything is a program. So the first thing we have to do when we start fitness is to just, excuse me, I have something in my throat. The first thing we have to do is to just start a new program, meaning a new way of doing something. So instead of saying, I'm going to do an hour every day, which is a lot, you know, it's a privilege to have an hour to yourself, especially when you're a mom, right, with kids running around, when you are in college and studying for tests or, you know, have a very high demanding job. It's very hard to find an hour. So I always say start with 5 minutes. And you have to set your timer for 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, you work out, find out what you want to do. Is it your squats, plank? Do you want to get a stronger core? And if you don't know how, that is exactly what I teach, is how do you put 5 minutes together? And then what you have to set your timer. After the 5 minutes are over, you have to stop. And you have to do that for 2 weeks, every single day. Once you've done it for 2 weeks, you now have reprogrammed your schedule into something new. And it's not overwhelming, it's 5 minutes. And if you can't find 5 minutes for yourself, then you have to take a look at your life of what is really going on. Because everybody should have at least 5 minutes in the morning for themselves. Maybe you need to get up 5 minutes earlier, you know, and if you can't do it in the morning, do it at night. I just found that the mornings are the most effective for people to work out. They are in a detox state, the body's in hormonal balance, it renews itself. It is the most effective time for mental strength and for energy-wise to work out first thing in the morning. When we do it at night, it really, we have to then burn off body fat first or sugars, not the body fat, and the glycogen to get even to a fat burn. But in the morning, we're already there.
That's amazing. I love that approach. I think it falls very nicely in line with, I'm sure you're probably familiar with the book Atomic Habits by James Clear, where he teaches, you know, start super, super small. And I think with the people that want to make it a habit to go to the gym, he recommends even just driving there. Maybe putting your shoes on or something like that, and then driving back home without actually doing anything. And I'm very sure, even with your 5 minutes, eventually or after those 2 weeks, the person's gonna say, well, I'm already moving. Can we add another 5 minutes to that? And that's how you get to 20 minutes or even 30 minutes, which is probably still sustainable for a lot of people once they have realized they can easily carve out 5 to 10 minutes more out of their day, be it crossing off some social media time, or be it just being more organized, because I think sometimes we do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and do too much multitasking, but nothing properly. And so by simply streamlining our time more, I think that that's how everybody can probably carve out 5 or 10 minutes more. So, yeah, I'd love to hear about those short workouts that you help people with. So, for instance, you have a 20-minute workout program, I believe. Is that correct?
It's 30 minutes, so I have anywhere between 10 and 30-minute workouts, because I believe that you can do everything most effectively in 30 minutes. And in those 30 minutes, literally, you can do a full body workout. But you can do depending on how many sets you want to do. I do 4 sets of legs, upper body, arms, so like back, upper body, core, glutes, and legs, all in 30 minutes. And you can do 1 set to 2 sets in 10 minutes.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I would really say everybody should be able to squeeze that in somewhere. And you were so kind to give us a little bit of a discount code if someone wants to try your program. So I'll put that in the show notes. Party 15 for the first month off, or free trial month. Really cool. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I haven't been able to do anything, this is your entry point. It's free. You don't need any equipment for it. It's literally, you said, somewhere between 10 to 30 minutes. So very, very cool. I hope people will go and take advantage of that. And yeah, I mean, you have yourself had an active lifestyle throughout your entire life, you as a teenager, as a in your 20s and your 30s, and now as well. And what tips do you generally have for how to stay fit throughout any stage of life? So be it as a college student, be it as a mom, be it in menopause, yes, what tips would you be able to give us?
Taking action. I'm a big action go taker, and you have to schedule yourself. We always wait for motivation. And really, the motivation, I always say, it's our friends and our support system that is our motivator, right? Because they will show up for you. Ask a friend, show up with me. That's your motivator. But the discipline is really what it takes to be in shape. And seeing, when you think about doing 5 to 10 minutes, it's so much easier to stay disciplined than thinking about, oh, I have to do an hour. Some people spend 3 hours in the gym, which I think is crazy. If you have 10 minutes, do 10 minutes. If you're standing in front of your microwave, you can do a whole workout in front of the microwave for 1 minute. I teach people how you can work out while you work without getting sweaty. And you set your timer for every hour you do just 20 squats, 10 push-ups against your table, and then 15 crunches. You can do that while you're sitting at your desk, and then you keep on going your day. And then the next hour, you do it again. At the end of the day, if you set your timer, you have done it at least 4 to 5 times. There's your workout, and you have done it throughout the day. So it's all how we look at movement and how we look at what does exercise mean and what does it mean to get stronger. Because moving your own body weight is always harder than just moving dumbbells. So we have to do squats all day long. You sit down on a chair, you get out of a car. These are squats. These are mobility things that we need daily. And for me to do that, you have to be disciplined and give yourself time.
What I think is so great about this is that it really moves people away from all or nothing thinking, because it honestly, like you're saying, some people have the perception of they. If it's not an hour and a half workout, it's not worth it. Or if I'm not drenched in sweat, it's not worth it. And it's just like the research is super, super clear on even the benefits of walking more, of standing more. And what you're saying, like, okay, I've got a minute in front of the microwave. Most people, I would guarantee, are going to pull out their phone and just scrolling mindlessly through something. Whereas you're saying, I'm using this actively, I can do this and that. Or my kid's in the bathroom, I'm gonna wait for a minute and do some lunges in the meantime. So it's really cool just opening up those opportunities here and open up people's eyes. And you mentioned like having friends or so join in with you as well. What are some other ways we can find accountability and use that accountability to move away from perfection more and more?
Well, accountability first is your friends is your closest ones, right? Your family and friends is always the easiest. And then if you don't have that, I recommend hiring a coach that you can be accountable for. And even if you can't, don't want to do use the coach for a long period of time, but it's just a good way to start and give yourself the right guidance. I always say I think that's the smartest thing you will ever do is to get yourself a coach that knows what they're doing and say, okay, show me how I need to eat, show me how to exercise, and give me a blueprint. I'll do it with you for a month, and then I'll go on my own and I come back. I think that's super, super important. Also, I'm a big scheduler. I schedule myself. And I always say that if you don't schedule time for yourself, time will run away and you will do everything else but yourself. And in the end of the day, your body is your biggest asset that you will ever have. And you have to make time for it because when the more muscle you have, the longer you will live in a more mobile way. You will have strong bones, sorry. The density improves, your flexibility improves. The muscles in your brain are challenged when we're working out. There's a thing that's called autophagy that happens when we work out. That same thing happens when we go into a cleanse or we do a prolonged fasting. So the body renews itself and creates stronger cells, which is super, super important for overall, not just for the muscles, but for your skin, for your joints, like I said, for your bone density, for your brain cells. So I highly, highly recommend that you lift weights. And it's never too late. I have a gentleman, he's 95. When he first came to me, he was 93 and he was just having accidents all over the place because he couldn't keep his balance. And his life has improved so much by just being able to work out and build muscle because now getting up out of a chair is so much easier. So we always think of fitness for the vain part, but I want people to understand fitness is way more than just looking the part. That's the side effect, I think, when we are working out is, oh, my body's changing and starting to shape up nicely and tone better. The skin gets better, the glutes get better, the stomach goes away. Those are the side effects from working out. But the long-term effects that it has for aging is just incredible.
Yeah, I think this is a really important message as well, and especially also with your example of the 95-year-old gentleman that you're working with. Some people think in their 50s or 60s, oh, it's too late for me to build muscle or to start with this and that. Again, the research is super clear on that even when we start an exercise program at 80 or whatever, and especially if accompanied with the right nutritional help as well, if you're starting to eat more protein, you are able to build muscle. And even if you maybe don't put on a lot of muscle, those neural connections in terms of coordination, in terms of all the cognitive benefits are still being created or at least maintained. So I think this is really, really important from a functionality point of view, because unfortunately, modern day life, we just sit so much, we don't use our body the way that they're intended to. So I think that's a great point. I want to go back to something that you said in the beginning about your own workouts and that you love track and you still incorporate sprint work. And I think sprint work has become a little bit more popular even it throughout, or especially throughout the menopause transition as well. So I'd love to hear how you program your own sprints in there and what you recommend for clients going through the menopause transition that might want to incorporate some sprints.
Yeah, great question. I'm actually certified in menopausal training, which means when we go through menopause, our estrogen and progesterone, all of our hormones are going a little bit out of whack. And actually doing high intensity 30-second sprints, be it a jump on a box, be it just jogging. And I'm not, you don't have to be like, bozy and just start running sprints like Olympics. But I'm talking about like getting your heart rate above 140. And the older you are, obviously, it's going to be harder, but you want to just get your heart rate up. And that you have to do it for 30 seconds. You don't need to do it for 2 minutes, just 30 seconds. So if you are somebody who likes to walk, go and add 30-second interval sprints, jogs in there, and then walk 2 minutes again. So they have scientifically proven that when you do a sprint, a jump, that you actually enhance the fat burn mobility in your body, the density of your bones, the activation of your fast twitch muscle fibers, which is the ones that build really strong muscles. And then you walk. You're bringing your cortisol levels back down because we have to, when we are in a menopause, we have to really be careful with cortisol levels. That's why cardio sessions, high intensity cardio sessions for long periods are not good for us. We have to do everything to keep the body stress level down. And if we do in a 30-second interval and then 2 minute low impact, meaning a walk, a bicycle ride, like if you're on a bicycle, get out of your saddle, do a 30-second sprint on your saddle, in your out of the saddle. And then 2 minute, really, where you want to be able to hold a conversation when you do those 2 minutes. And it's the most effective thing to balance your hormones, to get into faster fat burn, and to make fast changes in your body. And if you do that for 30 minutes, so if you're going already on a walk or on a bike ride, just add those in there, amazing. And if you're doing lifting weights, I think that when you incorporate a functional strength training, they call it, which means you're taking a dumbbell and you're doing, for instance, a squat and then a bicep curl at the same time. You now, or a lunge, and you're pressing something over your head, a dumbbell over your head. You're now incorporating the mobility of doing a lunge and a press at the same time. Anytime your hand goes over your heart rate goes up. That is considered a high intensity exercise. You do that for 10 reps. Here's your 30 seconds. And then you just do leisurely some triceps, or you can do a plank, or you can do hip thrusts, which are really good for glute development, opening up your hips. You know, we always have to worry about tight hips. So I always incorporate a high intensity exercise and then low intensity exercise, even in my bodybuilding. So when you weightlift, you don't have to necessarily jump on the box. But if you're doing a squat and then pressing something over your head, the intensity of it simulates a jump.
Yep.
Or jumping jacks. Just do 10, 20 jumping jacks. We always think the older we get, the less we should jump. And that is not true because jumping is really important for us.
Yeah, I think you touched on osteoporosis or just in general strengthening the bones during that time and that being so important. And I think jumping certainly is one of the most beneficial things aside from resistance training. And what you said about the difference between that sort of sprint interval and what's often a little bit more popular, unfortunately, like that kind of like circuit training where you're in that moderate intensity range. Unfortunately, as you said, that is just really un the probably the least best thing you can do aside from doing nothing during the menopause transition. That sort of middle range where you're not where the cortisol is high, but you're not actually stimulating all that much. You're not going into proper fat oxidization. You're not getting any bounce back from jumping or so, and you're not building any muscle. You're just in that middle range, sort of puddling along. But unfortunately, many women are drawn into that from be it through fitness classes that are unfortunately not well designed, or just because that's what they've always been doing, and they're afraid to sprint. They're afraid to actually push that sort of higher intensity or higher weights as well. So I think it's really great that you're highlighting it's important to get that heart rate up. It doesn't need to be long. On the contrary, of course, if you go longer, your intensity is going to go down. So actually, that could be a negative thing. So keeping it to 30 seconds, going hard out, then up, focusing on bringing it back down instead of keeping it up, because women don't want to rest or they don't want to do something of lower intensity in between that. So I think really, really great that you highlighted it there and just really emphasizing that it's supposed to be a sprint, whatever that means for you, because if you're just starting out, it could be a brisk walk and that's your sprint at the moment. You don't have to
Yeah,
jump on a box right away.
absolutely. Like for me, every Saturdays are usually my sprint days, and I usually go to the beach here because I live at the beach. But if you don't have a beach and you have a grass field, I highly recommend it to do on grass because the cushioning of the ground is much better for your joints than concrete. But I always do 10 to 20 little sprints, 40-yard sprints, and then I walk leisurely back and I do it 20 times, and it's amazing for your body. And if you ever want great abs, because I've never seen a sprinter with bad abs.
That's a very good point also. Another thing that's often quite discussed or controversial, especially throughout the menopause transition, is kind of hot and cold exposure. And I saw that you were talking about sauna a little while ago. So I'd love to have your take on sauna or hot and cold, if you like.
You have some great questions, Lisa. So Saunas, I think, are really good for women. Infrared saunas, just to get rid of detoxification, loosen up the joints. Now, cryos or cold plunges, I think you need to be careful. There are because they can raise your cortisol levels if you're going in it too long. And I've done cryos, and I've noticed that if I do it once a week, it's actually beneficial for me for 3 minutes, and I love how it feels on my joints. But then I tried it for 3 days in a row, and it actually did the opposite for me. It put me into, I couldn't get warm anymore, and it was cold, and I felt my body is stressing now. And so I did some research on it, and then truly it is that the men and women are very different. So just because men can deal with cold better, women cannot. And especially women in more menopausal states where we are dealing with the cortisol stress anyway. So I highly recommend to not do cold plunges or cryos no more than once a week. Infrared saunas, I think, are great once or twice a week to do them. They're de-stressing you. They are fantastic.
Amazing. And from what you're saying, I can only relate to that from a personal perspective. I started cold plunging maybe 3 months ago, 4 months ago. And first of all, if I do it too late in the day, it will affect my sleep negatively because it does take a while for me to come back down. And second of all, yeah, once a week is my absolute maximum. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't think people, I can do it. I could do it, or I know I couldn't, shouldn't do it daily, especially not at the length that I'm doing it at or at the temperature that I'm doing it at. So I think that's a good note of caution. But yeah, from in terms of infrared sauna, since it's not super hot, so not a huge stressor in that way either, I think that's a really great thing for people to incorporate on a more regular basis, even for skin benefits, for yeah, other anti-aging benefits and so on also. And so kind of going back into the name of your company, Party and Diet, and the whole theme of yeah, having a social life and still having the body that you love. Of course, that includes things like food and like drinking or travel. What are your main tips when it comes to balancing all of that, a social life and having a great body?
It's what I actually live by, and I've done this all since I competed, and that's how I figured this out, is the rotation diet. In the bodybuilding world, we use a rotation diet. Now they call it a metabolic confusion diet, which means actually that we're rotating our carbohydrates. So when you put your body into a ketosis state, and the only way we get into a ketosis state is we have to eliminate sugars in our body and become insulin sensitive. And the way we do that is we go really high in proteins and fats because the body needs energy from fat or carbs. And if we take the carbs or sugars away, we have to high up the fats. So Monday to Friday around noon, I stay really good and I stay put myself and my body into a ketosis state. I stay really low on my carbohydrates or my sugars. So I usually use low glycemic sugars like berries, apples, oranges, really low glycemic sugars. And then I high up my fat, so avocados, fish, salmon, all those. And I make sure I get lots and lots of protein. Like I'm 180 pounds and I need and I'm about 9% body fat. I need 180 pounds of protein a day. And I get that in. But I have, like, for instance, I have my shake right here. So I have, it's packed with 50 grams of protein. I always say drink it if you can't eat it, because you don't want eating 6 meals a day, 5 times, or 5 meals a day, even, it's super hard. I did it when I competed, and you're eating all the time. I mean, you think about food all the time, and who wants to do that when you have a busy lifestyle? But on Friday night, when I want to hang out with my friends and we're going out to dinner, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat and what I have to watch, because if I want to have that piece of bread that it comes to the table and I want to have my skinny margarita, I can, because now my body goes into a metabolic confusion if I'm giving it the carbs. So now it actually raises my metabolism and now I'm burning extra. And you can do that for 3 days, but you should never do it more than 3 days, because the body adjusts every fourth day. So we want to get to an insulin sensitive state. And then on the weekend, that's why you can have fun. I'm just a big believer and that you should never overeat. If you make a fist, your stomach is as big as your fist. All your food, when you squish together, should fit in that fist. If it's fit, it is more, then you're overeating. So I think a lot of times, especially in America, because these portions are so huge that you get here, where I grew up in Europe, our portions are not big, but they are the right size for our body. So I always say, be careful with your portions. And if you don't know the portion, then if you get a square Tupperware, not the big one, then the regular square Tupperware, your food should fit in that. That is a portion, not a big dinner plate, breakfast plates, that it should be your regular plate. And yeah, on weekends, I have my champagne. I love bagels and lox and cream cheese. I love a good slice of pizza, but I stop at two slices. I don't go overboard, So balance is everything. And then, if you were good Monday to Friday, you cannot destroy over the weekend what you've done during the week, but you can help it. So if you are being really smart, still eat high proteins, but you want that piece of bread or you want that glass of wine, you can have it.
This is a really great guideline with the Tupperware thing. I never heard it being said that way, but I think that it can help people because they often want a visual, I guess, guideline for how much they should choose, especially if it's a buffet or something like that. And I also like that you highlighted it's not a complete binge because I think sometimes people think, oh, I work so hard during the week, I don't see any progress. Why is that? And then we kind of go through their food log over the weekend, and it's like a complete, Monday through Thursday, they might have been at, I don't know, at 1,700 calories. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're at like 3,500. And you're like, well, this is like, you might feel like
Or
you're doing
more.
really well, yes. And then on the weekend, you're going way overboard. So I think it's great you highlighted, hey, you're giving yourself that freedom. But you are still making sure it doesn't fall into like, oh, I feel gross about myself, which a lot of people, comes Monday and they're like, oh, I can't believe I ate all of that. Or even on the same night, they feel like, oh, I can't go to sleep because I ate way too much. So that's really not what I'm hearing you say. A bagel, or a couple of slices of pizza, and some margarita. That sounds wonderful, and I think that also helps us move away from the good and bad food sort of paradigm that people have and has stuck in their head, where they simply think, oh, I've eaten this, now I have to have guilty feelings because I'm a bad person since that's a quote unquote unclean food or so. So it's a great strategy, I think, especially with you also emphasizing protein. I often hear, especially from women, that they have a hard time getting their protein in. So you saying drinking it, and I often say like 1 to 2 shakes per day, or sometimes even more if you're traveling, that can come in really handy. And it's really not a low quality protein. Is it the most satiating thing, or as satiating as if you're eating something? Probably not. But if you're busy, if you're on the go, if you don't really feel like eating breakfast anyway, I think a shake is perfect.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's my saving grace. My daughter is not a big, she's a vegetarian and she's a very picky eater. I always make her a smoothie. So I pack everything in there, all her greens, all her proteins. And you just have the best meal for your body. And you always want to start your day with protein anyway. You don't never want to start your day with sugar, ever. So even in the morning when you first start, you should never start your day with coffee. People don't understand that coffee actually doesn't give us energy. Coffee just quietens the noise of fatigue to be fatigued. So if you do warm water with lemon in it, which is I'm a huge fan of it, it's a fountain of youth. First of all, it diminishes wrinkles in your body, in your face. It gives your gut functioning a perfect balance, and it also helps you not to be so acidic. And then you have way more energy from that. Then an hour later, I usually do my coffee. And you want to have low sugar in it. You can go put your fat in it. You can put cream in it, as long as you don't go crazy with your sugars. And you should have, it's a 30-30 rule that I always live by. 30 minutes of awakening, you do 30 minutes of exercising, and you have 30 grams of protein.
This is a great rule. So easy to remember and
Right?
absolutely It's so true. I mean, having protein first thing in the morning is going to help with the blood sugar regulation throughout the entire day. Gives you a head start on the protein goal that you have. And I also really think I personally have, like back in the day, used to drink coffee first thing in the morning. And then it comes to 10, 11 o'clock, you feel like you need the next one and then the next one. And so simply by delaying that caffeine, because there's nothing wrong with caffeine, but by delaying it, as you mentioned it, and hydrating first, giving yourself the energy that way, really good advice. And I'd love to hear if you generally recommend some sort of supplements for everybody or for certain people, especially throughout the menopause transition as well, or if you're really focusing mostly on whole foods.
Well, the problem is with whole foods, which I love, and we should eat lots of whole food, we don't get the nutrients in our whole foods that we need anymore, unfortunately. So we have to supplement. And everybody needs to supplement with glutamine and BCAA, especially people that are vegan or vegetarians and don't get enough proteins, because we do get glutamine from meats, but we don't get enough. So, excuse me, glutamine and BCAAs are aminos that your body produces naturally, but we have to give it extra so the body recovers faster. The brain has aminos, and BCAAs are brain chain aminos that are there for the brain. And glutamine is good for 300 different reasons. Our internal and organs, they're all cells too, and they need glutamine as well, not just our muscles. So I say definitely a staple. You should always have 5 grams of glutamine and 5 grams of BCAAs daily, no matter if you work out or not. And then creatine, I think, is a number one and a must when you're in menopause. Male or female, men go through transitions as well, hormonal transitions, testosterone drops. It's definitely a must to have in your creatine daily, no matter if you're working out or not. It's a cell repair. It gives you energy. It's a brain functioning. It's definitely important. And NAD, people don't understand how important NAD is. It's a peptide, and there's NAD in pill form that you can get over the counter. Injections are always better, or a IV drip if you can go to a place where you can get an IV. I don't personally like the IV because the doses are too high. I like to spread out throughout the week. So I dose with either a pill form NAD, or I do a insulin injectable needle. It's just like a little pinch, but it's a fabulous for energy, especially when we go through menopause. We're getting low on energy. And the number one thing I always say is get your NAD in. And I found, and this is actually in the men's department, not in the women's department, it's DHEA supplement, and it regulates your hormones. And anytime when we go through menopause, women need to be checked on their DHEA-S hormones and see are they out of balance. And a lot of times that is the case when we go through menopause. And it's a supplement you can take every day. And also take it with boron. Boron helps you to absorb your supplements better. So we can take these supplements and not absorb them in our body. And boron is something that's like $5 something, and in a nutrition store, it's super cheap. It helps you to absorb your supplements better.
Love these recommendations, and especially the note that creatine is for everybody, whether male or female, whether you're training or not. I think it's still often associated with just a muscle building supplement, but there's so much more to it, especially when it comes to the cognitive benefits. So yes, Kirsten, you've given us amazing recommendations. I just want to summarize a few of them here. So first of all, everybody listening, it can make 5 or 10 minutes to start off with, and just make that your consistent training routine. You can do body weight things. You can take advantage of Kirsten's wonderful free offer for the next month and check out her training programs to hopefully build up to 30 minutes per day. Especially if you're going through the menopause transition, also incorporating some sprint work is going to be super beneficial to prevent osteoporosis and, of course, for many, many other things there as well. Then, when it comes to the diet, not having an all or nothing mindset, but instead working smart with with high protein foods, keeping the carbs lower, ideally throughout the week, and then allowing yourself a little bit more liberty for a couple of days in the row over the weekend. And yeah, adding in some supplements where needed or as needed, since our diet unfortunately is not as well-rounded as we would like it to be. Is there anything else, any last words you would like to add to round off our topic today?
Yeah, there's one more thing besides taking magnesium before you go to bed, and way higher doses than we normally think is what we need, is to work out through your injuries. A lot of times when we have injuries, we start. I have clients, they call me and say, "Oh, I hurt my back or my knee is hurting. I can't work out." I'm like, "No. We can still work out. You can still work out." The number one thing that the body needs when you have an injury is blood flow to the injured area. So there's just certain exercises you just can't strain the area, but you have to create blood flow to help the area heal much faster. And so we don't get scar tissue in it or blockage, and then you have chronic pain from not moving that area and creating blood flow to it. So find somebody. If you don't know anybody, you can check, come to my site and I'll help you. I always train people through injuries, be it shoulder, lower back, sciatica. There's always a reason. There's a blockage in your body why you have an injury. Runners have a lot of injuries in their hips, and then it goes into your knees, or when we age, we don't move enough, and then we have lower back pain because our core is not strong enough, or we have rotator issues, and you can move through injuries. And I highly recommend to find yourself somebody that knows how to move through it. Be it a physical therapist or a coach like myself, who deals with injury and movement all the time.
Thank you so much for mentioning that, because I think that's also an important message. And it's a really kind of like an old school way of thinking to say like complete rest for 3 months or even longer. And so many other, we could be doing so many other things around that. And really, it's more about that consistency and about keeping that identity of I am a fit person, I'm moving no matter what. So yeah, thank you for that. Kerstin Schulze, thank you so much for your time. I will make sure to put all your socials in the show notes and, of course, the discount code for your free month. I'm really grateful for that.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kerstin. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner, Fat Muscle Project, has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and for free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.